Hey, it's Gabe. I want to recommend a podcast I think you'll enjoy called What Could Go Right. On What Could Go Right, the hosts, Progress Network founder Zachary Carabel and executive director Emma Varva Lucas, sit down with expert guests to discuss the world's most pressing issues. They look back at how far society has come and look forward to what it will take to achieve a brighter future. If you're looking for a weekly dose of optimistic ideas from smart people, listen to What Could Go Right wherever you get your podcasts.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM, let's create.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
This summer, click into cordless power with Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. And keep your flower beds looking fresh with the 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Then clear leaves and debris with the 40-volt leaf blower. No cords, no gas, no hassle. Click into Memorial Day savings happening now at the Home Depot and on homedepot.com. How doers get more done.
Hello, everyone. It's Eves checking in here to let you know that you're going to be hearing two different events in history in this episode. They're both good, if I do say so myself. On with the show. Hello. Welcome to This Day in History class, where we dust off a little piece of history every day. The day was April 13th, 1873. On Easter Sunday in Colfax, Louisiana, a massacre broke out in the aftermath of a controversial election for the governor of the state. The conflict had started months before as a battle between white Southern Democrats who wanted to keep restricting the rights of formerly enslaved people and Republicans who advocated for reconciliation and Black emancipation. But on April 13th, the clash turned into a bloody tragedy. As many as 150 Black people were killed, while three white folks died. It was one of the deadliest incidents of racial and political violence during the Reconstruction era, or the period in American history right after the Civil War. Though the Reconstruction era was generally a tumultuous period, the massacre led to the Supreme Court case United States versus Cruikshank and encouraged the institution of the Jim Crow system. The Reconstruction era was fraught with violent racial incidents and domestic terrorism from white supremacy adherents. People who wanted to hold on to the values of the Old South and others who wanted to move forward with Reconstruction were at odds. And this was evident in the 1872 election for Louisiana's governor. William Pitt Kellogg, the Republican candidate, went up against John McInerney, who was nominated by a so-called fusionist coalition of liberal Republicans and conservative Democrats. The results of the election were widely disputed, and each side claimed to have the legitimate governor. President Ulysses S. Grant supported Kellogg and the Reconstructionist Republicans by sending federal troops to Louisiana. But the fight over who had political control continued. In Grant Parish, there were about 2,400 formerly enslaved people who mainly voted Republican, and there were about 2,200 mostly Democratic white people. There was debate over control of the courthouse at Colfax in Grant Parish, but the Reconstructionist Republicans ended up seizing it. So, just in case the Democrats decided to take back the regional government, an all-Black militia set up at the Colfax courthouse. On the other side of the aisle, white Democrats organized a militia to take the courthouse. On April 1st, fusionist James W. Hadnot went to the courthouse with about 14 men, but they realized they couldn't take on the militia that was there. The Republicans responded by raiding their rivals' homes. News of the raids spread, and by the next day, battles had erupted. The fighting continued for several days until it came to a head on April 13, 1873. Somewhere around 150 white people, including ones from white supremacist groups like the Knights of White Camellia and the Ku Klux Klan, surrounded the courthouse. About 150 black men ended up fighting on the Republican side, led by a Civil War veteran named William Ward. But their weapons were no match for the rifles, shotguns, pistols, and hunting knives that the white folks had. Some of the black militiamen fled, while others surrendered. The white people fired a cannon on the black people and eventually set the courthouse on fire. The black men surrendered, but the white mob wasn't done. They captured, beat, shot, and hanged a lot of the black militiamen. By the end of the night, anywhere from 62 to 153 people had been killed. Three of those people were white, but it's not clear exactly how many black people died. News of the massacre soon made its way around the country. In the end, 97 white people who had committed the massacre were indicted, but only three were found guilty. Nine were charged with violating the Enforcement Acts of 1870 and 1871. The Enforcement Acts, also known as the Ku Klux Klan Acts, were meant to protect the rights of black people under the 14th and 15th Amendments to the U.S. Constitution. Lawyers thought it would be better to get the defendants on conspiracy to commit what we now consider hate crimes, rather than murder. But in United States versus Cruikshank, the Supreme Court ruled that the due process and equal protection clauses only apply to actions of the state, not individuals. It also said that racist intent had to be explicitly alleged for it to be actionable at law, and that the federal government could not prosecute people for violating black folks' civil rights. Soon enough, segregation would start to become law. On April 13, 1921, a memorial to the white people who had died in the massacre was unveiled at Colfax Cemetery. An inscription on the monument read, "Erected to the memory of the heroes, Stephen Decatur Parrish, James West Hadnot, Sidney Harris, who fell in the Colfax riot fighting for white supremacy, April 13, 1873. I'm Eve Jeffcoat, and hopefully you know a little more about history today than you did yesterday. If there are any upcoming days in history that you'd really like me to cover on the show, give us a shout on social media at TDIHC Podcast. We'll see you here in the same place tomorrow.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
When the Taliban banned music in Afghanistan, millions were plunged into silence. Radios were smashed, cassettes burned. You could be beaten or jailed or killed for breaking the rules. And yet, Afghans did it anyway. This is the story of how a group of people brought music back to Afghanistan by creating their own version of American Idol. The danger they endured.
They said my head should be cut off.
The joy they brought to the nation.
You're free completely. No one is there to destroy you.
I'm John Legend. Listen to Afghan Star on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? Meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. I sit down with Nicola Coughlan, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season three of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then, fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hi, everyone. I'm Eves, and welcome to This Day in History Class, a podcast for people who can never know enough about history. The day was April 13th, 1953. The U.S. Central Intelligence Agency authorized Project MKUltra, in which the CIA conducted experiments on people with the goal of developing drugs and procedures that could be used for mind control. In April of 1953, the Korean War was nearing its end. The war was won between communist North Korea and capitalist South Korea. The U.S. sent a lot of aid to South Korea and spent tens of billions of dollars on the war. During the Korean War, rumors spread that North Korea and the powers on its side, including the Soviet Union and China, were subjecting American prisoners of war to communist brainwashing. Newly appointed CIA Director Alan Welsh Dulles wanted the U.S. to develop its own techniques for mind control to use on its captives. On April 10, 1953, Dulles gave a speech at the National Alumni Conference of the Graduate Council of Princeton University. In it, he said the following. The Soviets are now using brain perversion techniques as one of their main weapons in prosecuting the Cold War. Some of these techniques are so subtle and so abhorrent to our way of life that we have recoiled from facing up to them. Dulles said that the brain warfare that the Soviets were committing could turn people into, quote, humble confessors of crimes they never committed, or make them the mouthpiece for Soviet propaganda. Talk of communist brainwashing spread through the U.S. media and politics. 3 days after his speech, on April 13th, Dulles approved the launch of the CIA program MKUltra. The program's aim was to develop mind-controlling drugs for use on U.S. prisoners of war in response to alleged Chinese, Soviet, and North Korean mind-control techniques. The CIA looked to create a truth drug for interrogating prisoners of war and captured spies. It also wanted to develop drugs that would render CIA agents immune to enemies' mind-control techniques. In addition to this, the agency sought to create a brainwashed, programmable assassin and figure out how to manipulate foreign leaders through MKUltra. The CIA's Office of Scientific Intelligence organized the project in coordination with the U.S. Army Biological Warfare Laboratories.
chemist Sidney Gottlieb headed up the project. Many of MKUltra's experiments involved the covert administration of LSD, a hallucinogenic drug. The drug was secretly given to CIA employees, U.S. soldiers, and psychiatric patients. Other techniques employed to alter subjects' mental states included hypnosis, radiological implants, electroshock therapy, sensory deprivation, verbal and sexual abuse, and isolation. Many of the experiments conducted were done without the subject's knowledge or consent. Some subjects volunteered freely or under coercion. Dozens of institutions, including universities, hospitals, prisons, and drug companies, participated in MKUltra. Not all academic researchers knew that the CIA was using their work for mind control purposes, since they were often funded through front organizations. After a member of the CIA Inspector General's staff learned about the program's experimentation on non-voluntary subjects, the operation was scaled back and had to follow new guidelines. In 1973, CIA Director Richard Helms ordered files on MKUltra destroyed. In 1975, reports from the Church Committee and Rockefeller Commission revealed to the public the existence of the MKUltra experiments. In response to a Freedom of Information Act request in 1977, the CIA uncovered thousands of additional MKUltra files. They were the subject of Senate hearings that took place later that year. At least one death is attributed to the project, but because of the circumstances surrounding the covert operation, its true impact may never be known. In 2001 and 2018, some documents related to MKUltra were declassified. I'm Eve Jeffcoat, and hopefully you know a little more about history today than you did yesterday. You can learn more about history by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at TDIHC Podcast. You can also send us an email if you have any questions or comments at thisday@iheartmedia.com. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll see you tomorrow.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
This is the story of how a group of people brought music back to Afghanistan by creating their own version of American Idol. The joy they brought to the nation.
You're free completely. No one is there to destroy you.
The danger they endured.
They said my head should be cut off.
I'm John Legend. Listen to Afghan Star on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.